Begin the current daf. Masechta Sot, daf Lamed Zayin. Begin on the bottom of daf Lamed Vav and Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the Braisa on the previous daf, where, as the Gemara had introduced the pasuk of Edus B'Hosef, in other words, a pasuk where Yosef's name has an extra letter Hey, and that was introduced because regarding the calculation about the names of the Shvatim, which we're discussing, Har Grizim, Har Evil, half of the Shvatim, six were on one mountain, six were on the other mountain, and therefore we got into the discussion regarding if there's a similar parallel regarding the stones of the Ephod, where there were one on each shoulder, and that is you have 25 and 25 letters, which were the 50 letters of the 12 Shvatim's names, which the Gemara had pointed out was only 49. So the Gemara had posited by saying that maybe that was the extra letter Hey of Yosef, as we see Yosef, which the Gemara concluded, no, is actually the extra Yud of the name Binyamin. But the Gemara had said that Yosef had the extra letter Hey, as we see in that pasuk, and that was because of the Kiddushim Shemaim. He sanctified God's name in Seser, in seclusion, which was the seductiveness of Eshes Paitifah, which he was, and he succeeded, and he didn't sin. But, says the Braisa, Yehuda, who he sanctified the name of God in public, so he got actually all four letters of Hashem's name. Yosef got one, which is the Hey. Yehuda, there's the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, then there's a Dalet, and then there's the Hey. You have Shem Havaya, you have Hashem's four-letter name. That is because he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Fahesi, and that's where Gemara continues and says, Yehuda Mahi. What was this that Yehuda had done that merited that he has the whole name of Hashem inside his name? So the Gemara said, the time, look at the Braisa. There's actually a machlokes regarding what happened by Yamsuf before it split. So how Yirmeyah used to say that Kesha Amdu Yisrael al Yam, when the Jewish people were standing by the Yamsuf, by the sea, how Yushvatim Menatzchem Zemzeh, the tribes were fighting one with the other. Ze Oimer Ani Yoritchil Yam, this tribe was saying, I want to be the first one to jump in. Ze Oimer Ani Yoritchil Yam, the other one says, no, it's my right to be the first one to jump in. Now, in the meantime, Kofatz, as we continue on top of Lamed Zayin and Aleph, Shifta Yishol Binyamin B'yorad Liyam T'chila. So as everyone's fighting it out, who gets the right to go in first, the tribe of Binyamin, forget it, they just jump in, and they go into the sea the first. Shem, like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Sham Binyamin, there was Binyamin, Tzar the youngest, Raidim, who rules. Now, on that, the interpretation is, Al Tikri, Raidim, don't read it there, they're the ones who rule, El Red Yam. You can take the word Raidem as Red Yam. They went down into the sea first. Now, V'hayusar Yehuda Raidem Maisam. Now, the leaders of the tribe of Yehuda, they were stoning them. Shnemak, it says there in the Pasuk, Sar Yehuda Rigmasam, that the leaders of Yehuda were stoning them because they were jealous. What do you mean? We're all discussing. Maybe Yehuda should be the first one to go. And you guys just jump in. So they were stoning them. Now, says the Gemara, L'fikar Zachar Binyamin HaTzadik, therefore Binyamin, the righteous one, merited, and that's why he became a host for the divine presence, because that is that the Kachay Kachim, the holiest of holies, is built in the portion of the tribe of Binyamin. Again, because he was the first one to jump in and sanctify Hashem's name for the splitting of the sea. Although it's a regular sea, they jumped in because Hashem said, go. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Uvein Kesef of Shachin. In regards to Binyamin, the Bracha says that between his shoulders, Hashem dwells, in other words, the highest part of his land, meaning the top by the shoulders, just a little bit lower, like by the shoulders, the head goes a little bit between the shoulders. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash was built on the highest place, just a little bit lower, that is in the portion of Binyamin. That's the interpretation of Reb Meir. On that, Amar Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda said to Reb Meir, Lo kach hayu maaseh, this is not what happened. Ela zeh oimer ein ani yaretchil yam. Rather, to the contrary, each tribe was saying, no, I'm not going to be the first one to go into the sea. Look, there's a raging sea over here. Why would I go in? V'zeh oimer ein ani yaretchil yam. The other one says, no, I'm not going to be the first one to go in. On that, Kofetz Nachshon ben Aminadav. Nachshon, the son of Aminadav from the tribe of Yehuda, he went and he jumped in. V'yaret liyam t'chil, and he was the first one to go into the sea. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Hosea, says, Sivavuni b'chachash Ephraim. That I was surrounded with the denial of Ephraim. In other words, he was afraid to rely on Ephraim to deny the faith in Hashem, where Hashem says, go, you go, but no one's going. Uvemirim based Israel and the deceit of the Jewish people. The Yehuda, Oidram, Rad, but however, the tribe of Yehuda, he went down into the sea, Im Kel with Hashem, meaning because he believed, he trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, go, so he went, even though there's a sea that's raging in front of him. V'alav mefarsh b'kabbalah, and it's regarding Yehuda, meaning Nachshon ben Aminadav, who is the prince of Sheba Yehuda, that it says in Ksuvim, meaning in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashi'eni Elokim, save me, God, Kivo Maima Nafesh, because water has come until the soul, Tevati Bi Vein Mitzula, I'm drowning here in the murkiness of the depth. There's nowhere to stand. In other words, because he's jumping in, the water's coming up, and he can't float any longer. And as the pasuk continues later on, don't let the stormy waters drown me. Don't let me get sucked in over here in the depths of the waters. So that was Yehuda, was the one who jumped in. Now, that says Rabbi Yehuda, but at that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu was lengthy davening to Hashem. So Hashem said to him, Yedidi Aitoivim Bayam, my beloved are drowning in the sea, because Nachshon jumped in already, and the sea was still there. Vatimach betfilafana, and you're going out and having a long davening in front of me? So Amlafana Vasav, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, master of the world, Umabi Adilasis, what can I do if not daven to you? So Amalaisa, Hashem said to him, as the Pasuk says in Shemais, Daba el bina Yisrael v'yiso, speak to the Jewish people and let them travel. Let them move towards the sea. Va'ata, and you harim es matra, lift up your stick, uneteyas yatcha, and stretch out your arm, begaim, etc., and that will split the sea. So, concludes Rabbi Yehuda lefikach, therefore, zach Yehuda, lasis memshala b'Yisrael. So therefore, Yehuda merited to have the dominion of the Jewish people. So, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, ha'isa Yehuda lekachai, that the tribe of Yehuda was for his sanctification. Yisrael, the Jewish people, is Mam Shalaisav, is the dominion, is the rulership of Yehuda. And that is because, as the Pasuk is saying, that he, in other words, he became Niskadish, he became sanctified to rule over them. Why? As the Gemara explains, Matam Hois Yehuda Lakachri Yisrael Mam Shalaisav. What is the reason for the sanctification of Yehuda and that the Jewish people should be under the dominion of the tribe of Yehuda? That is, as the pasuk continues, Mishum, because the Hayam Rav Yonis, because the sea saw and it fled. What did it see? So that Nachshon ben Amnon jumped in, and that great Kiddushim Shemayim gave the schos to Shevet Yehuda. And again, therefore, that's the discussion that we said, that what did Yehuda do? That he was Mekan the Shevet Shemayim Befehesu, that he merited to have all four letters of Hashem's name in his name, was this act that gave him the Malucha, the kingship, the dynasty forever, was because he jumped into the sea before all the other Shvatim. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion that we're having in the previous dafim of the Har Grizim and Har Evil, where they gave the klalis and the brachas for those that keep the words of the Torah. So Tanya, learn the brisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, you can't say that the tribe of Levi was below, meaning between the mountains, because it already says that they were on top of the mountains. Because as Moshe Rabbeinu writes in the Torah, it says, Elu yamdu levarcha, these were on the mountains to be for the bracha, were Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. So Levi was on the mountains, just like we split up six and six. Yosef was not split into Manasseh and Ephraim. Rather, you had Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yosef, and Binyamin. So you have the 12 Shvatim, six and six, and Levi's on the top. Now, v'yev shalem elamal, but neither can you say that Shevet Levi was on the top, shekvan elamata, because there's a pasuk in Yehoshua that says that Shevet Levi was on the bottom. As it says in the Pasuk, it says, V'chol Yisrael u'zikein of Oim n'mizeh mizeh la'aron. That says that all the Jewish people, their elders, were standing on either one of those two mountains, neged, facing opposite, which were on the bottom, Hakahanim v'alavim. So you see that the Kahanim v'alavim were on the bottom. So how do we resolve the Pasuk in the Torah with the Pasuk in Yeshua? With Levim on the top, like the rest of the Jewish people, were they on the bottom with the Kahanim? So that the Gemara answers, Sikne kahuna v'levi lamata, the elders of the Kahanim and Levim, they were on the bottom. V'hashar lamala, the rest of Shevet Levi was on the top. That's one interpretation. Rabbi Yeshi, I mean, he says, kol haro l'sharis, any Levi that was fit to do the avoida of the clay hakodesh, meaning to carry the aron, meaning between the ages of 30 and 50, they were lamata, they were on the bottom near the aron. V'hashar lamala, but the rest of Levim were on the top. Now, Rabbi, I mean, he gives a totally different interpretation in how we were understanding up until now. He says, Elu v'elu. He says, not only the Levim, but even the rest of the Jewish people were all lamata heinemdim. They were all on the bottom between the mountains. Now, although Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, and that is, as it says in the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, it says that they were on the bottom. Now, hafchu p'neim klape har grizim u'paschu b'bracha. Now, what they actually ended up doing was that they, when it says that they were on the mountain of the blessing or on the mountain of the curses, it means that they turned their face towards Har Gerizim, and then they opened up in the blessing. And Klapei Har Eivel, the Pasuk B'Kol, and they would face towards Har Eivel and then open up in the curse. So which the Gemara addresses, according to this interpretation of Rebbe, it's a Ma'al, when it says by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, it says that they were on the mountain, half the Shvatim, and the other ones were on Har Eivel for the curses. So how can it say on if, according to Rebbe, they were below and they were just facing? So that he interprets, Al means Besamach. Although Al is usually translated as on, it could also be translated as nearby. So half were near the mountain of the blessing, and they faced that mountain, and half were the one facing, but no one was on the top, everyone was actually on the bottom. Can you tell me, like, within the Braisa? It says in the Pasuk, V'nasata ala mareches levoy nezakeh, there's a Pasuk of Yikra that's talking about the Lechem HaPanim, the 12 showbreads that were on the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. So it says in the Pasuk that you should put on the orders of the showbreads, levoy nezakeh, should put pure frankincense. Now, Rebbe Omer, as he interprets over here, that Al is besamuch. They didn't actually put the levoina on top of the breads. It was, they would put these two spoonfuls of the frankincense between the two orders. There was six and six. Between them were these two spoonfuls of frankincense, as he explains. At the Omer Al besamuch, do you say that Al just means nearby? Or eina ela al mamash? Or maybe it literally means on the showbreads. So Kesho Omer, but when it says a pasuk in Shemais that says v'sakisa al ha'orin, that you should cover, you should have a cover on the Aron, on the Ark. Now that pasuk obviously can't literally mean on the Aron, which was in the Kachi Kachim, because that partition that's being discussed during that pasuk is the Pareches, which is a curtain which was nearby, if anything, but not covering over the Aron. It is what separated between the Heichal and the Kachi Kachim. So Avoima Al Basamach, from that pasuk you could prove that there's definitely times when you interpret on, meaning the word Al, not as on, but rather as nearby. So therefore, the same thing applies to the Levina on the Shulchan, and the same thing applies, according to Rebbe, regarding Har Gerizim, Har Eivel, that all the 12 Shvatim, no one was on the mountain. When it says Al in the Torah, it actually means that they were nearby either mountain, but again, everyone, not only the Levium, but even the whole Jewish people were actually on the bottom between the two mountains. Now we continue explaining our Mishnah, which is what led to all these different discussions. Hafchu, which is discussing again regarding the brachas and the klalas by Har Gerizim and Har Eivel, when the Jewish people in the times of Yeshua actually crossed over the Yarden, and then on that same day they came to Har Gerizim and Har Eivel. So it talks about then Hafchu Peneim Klapei Har Gerizim Upaschu Bebracha Begayim Bechulu, meaning you have the Levim on the and the Kanim on the bottom, and they were the ones that they would turn their face towards Har Gerizim, and they would open up with a blessing. And then they would turn towards Har Eivel and open up with a curse, meaning the pros and cons, meaning each one, if you do this, then you get the blessing. If you don't do this, meaning the same thing, just in the opposite, then you get the curse. So Tarban Lenda Brisa that elaborates on this, the Krisas Bris, the covenant that was created at in these times regarding the Torah and the Mitzvahs. So Lenda Brisa that Baruch Bechlal, Baruch Beprat. We find there in the Pasuk that there's a general blessing and there's a specific blessing. And so to Ar Bechlal and Ar Befrat, there's a general curse for anyone that doesn't keep the Torah, and there's a specific, in other words, each one of the blessings and the curses that were said by Har Gerizim and Har Eivel has a general concept related to it and a specific one, meaning the Pasuk there says that they said, Baruch Asher Yochem Es Divrei Torah Zeis, blessed is someone that keeps and sustains the words of this Torah. And so too, in the converse, it says, Arasha lo yakum, cursed is someone that doesn't keep it. So you see that there's a general, a klal, that applies to every single mitzvah, both for blessing and for curse. And then, so too, you have for each one, a specific, a baruch and an ar, where let's say it says, Baruch asher lo yasa pesel masecha, blessed is someone that doesn't make a graven and a molten image. Then it says, the curse of that, Arasha yasa pesel masecha, cursed is someone that makes a graven or molten image. And so too, all of them. So each mitzvah has a general bracha related to it, a general klala related to it, a specific bracha related to it, and a specific klala related to it. Now, moreover, each mitzvah has four components. Lilmoid, to learn, ulalamid, to teach, lishmer, to safeguard, velasis, and to do. So, in other words, each one of the mitzvahs needs these four components. As the Pasuk tells us, velamadetem oisam, you shall learn it. says Ushmartim that you should safeguard it, Lasoisim to do them. And it also says Ulamatim Oisim Es Benichim that you should teach it to your sons. So you have four mitzvahs that apply to every single mitzvah. Now, moreover, as we just explained, regarding each one of these four components, you have the Ur and the Baruch of Klal and Prat, where you have what it comes out, let's say, if you want to really get down to it. Let's say each one of the mitzvahs has a mitzvah to learn, besides Lalamed, Lishma, and Lasis. So you have a Baruch for someone that learns, you have a curse for someone that doesn't learn, and same thing applies to teaching and to, for the safeguarding and to do. So for each one, you have four covenants. You have a bris that was, again, as we said, for the bracha b'chlal, a bris for the bracha b'frat, you have a bris for the ar b'chlal, and you have a bris for the ar b'frat. So therefore, it explains the bris. Hare, that comes out as we continue on Tamid Beis, that hare, that arba, you have four. In other words, what comes out is that you have arba, you have four brises, let's say, to learn, whatever mitzvah that is. Then you have the arba, you have another four, which is to then teach that mitzvah. Now, Hare Shemayin, that comes out that you have eight. Then you have Shemayinu Ushmayin. Besides that eight, you have another eight because you have Lishmer and Lasis. And again, because each component, every mitzvah has Lilmud, Lamed, Lishmer, Lasis. Now, each one of those, Lilmud, let's say, has four in it too. Because it has, in that Lilmud, has the Bracha B'chlal, Bracha B'frat, Ar B'chlal, and Ar B'frat. So, therefore, says the Gemara, Hare Shesh Esrei. So it comes out that you have 16 brisos for every single mitzvah. Now that's just in Har Grizim Har Evil, which was in the times of Yeshua. Same thing applies to by Har Sinai, meaning when all the mitzvahs were said to Moshe Rabbeinu, they were all given also in the Ur and the Bar and the Baruch, Bechlal and Befrat. So to V'chein Ba'arves Mayav. Same thing applies to the in the land of in the plains of Mayav. Where when it's said over to the Jewish people, as the Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Be'eva HaYarden and the other side of the Jordan, meaning to the eastern part, in Eretz Mayav, Hoyel Moshe, Moshe went and to explain Bar Heta, the whole entire mitzvah, and the acceptance of it, which was with all these brises. And as the Brisa proves, it's Shanem, like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, where this Pasuk in Devarim is after the Klolos and the Brachis, where it says, Eila Devi Habris, these are the words of the covenant, Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe B'Goyim, which Hashem had commanded to Moshe B'Goyim, etc., where the Pasuk there points out, Melvad Habris, besides for the bris, which was with Moshe Rabbeinu. So what we see is that just like the covenant, which was in Arvis Mayev, where this Pasuk is coming on the heels of the Brachas and the Klolos, so too, as we see that it's saying, besides the bris, which is comparing, which is the same as the bris that was given to Moshe, meaning by the bris of Chayiv of Har Sinai. Now, moreover, the third one, the one of Har Grizim and Har Evil, that we don't have to bring a pasuk for, because that's actually what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk there is talking about that what you have to do when you get to Har Grizim and Har Evil. So that's what the pasuk is talking about that you'll have brachas and klolos. But it's also mentioning this in Arvis Mayev, to say that there also they had that. And it's also saying Milvad HaBris, that they had the same thing by in the times when Moshe Ben received it, by Har Sinai. And Uchseven, it also says the Pasuk in Devarim, which Rashi says not to have this girsa, because there's really nothing being added over here, but it says the Pasuk later on there in Devarim, Ushmartim es Dibri HaBris HaZoyis V'Gomim, that you should safeguard the words of this covenant. So it concludes the Brisa. Nimtza Memchas Brises. It turns out that there are 48 covenants for every single Jewish person, because you have, as we said, 16 for every mitzvah, because again, every mitzvah has four components, and each component has four brises of Ur and Baruch in general and in specific. And then if you do that times three times, because of the one time in Sinai, one time in Arvis Moav, and one time in Har Grizim Har Evil, it comes out to be 48, 16 times 3. Now, so you have 48 covenants, I'll call mitzvah mitzvah, on every single mitzvah. Now, however, Reb Shimon, he has a slightly different version of this. He's Moitzi Har Grizim V'Har Evil. He removes from the calculation of the three different times in history, which gives you the 16 times 3, of not counting Har Grizim V'Har Evil. And the reason being is because Yehoshua at that time didn't give the brises, the klalos and the brachas on the entire Torah. It was only given on specific mitzvahs which are written over there in the parish of Har Grizim V'Har Evil. So therefore he removes that from making a bris on every single mitzvah of kol and bracha, Umachnes oil moyed shebemidbar. For the third one, he rather inserts regarding the oil moyed, the Mishkan, which was in the midbar, where after that the Mishkan was put up, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would constantly speak with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's where he taught him the whole entire Torah, as it says in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Vaydabar Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Lema, that Hashem would speak to him from the Oel Moed. So that's where, again, they taught him the whole Torah, again, with all its four components, and with all its four brachas and klolas. So that's the third one, which would make it the 16 times 3. Now the Gemara actually said, Ubeplukta Dehani Tanoi, this machlekes that Reb Shimon has with the Tanakama, is actually parallels the machlekes of the following Tanoim. The Tanakama, within the Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, he says, Klolis Nemer B'Sinai. When the Torah was given at Har Sinai, it was only given in general context, where it was still ambiguous. For example, when it says by Har Sinai, which is in Sefer Shemois and Perek Chav, it says, V'zavachto Allah v'esel esecha v'eshlamecha, that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that you're going to, when you're going to build the Mizbeach, and you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, so that's where you're going to slaughter on that your carbon oilus and your carbon shlamim. Now, it doesn't say how to do the throwing of the blood on the Mizbeach. It doesn't talk about over there the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts and of the skinning of the carbon and of the cutting up of the carbon oila and totally sacrificing it. So it just says it in the general context. Upratis ba'oil ma'id, and the specifics, as we said in Sefer V'yikra, when Moshe Rabbeinu then would speak to Hashem in the Mishkan, that's where the specifics were said. But in Har Sinai it was only general, and oil ma'id was where the specifics were then laid down. He argues, he says, no, klolus upratis, the general context and the specifics were nemer b'sinai, all of it was said at Har Sinai, and v'nishna b'oil ma'id, and all that general and specifics was then repeated and reviewed in oil ma'id when again Hashem taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and v'nishtal shlo b'arvas ma'id, and then it was repeated a third time in the plains of ma'id, which was from when Moshe Rabbeinu told it to the Jewish people. So therefore this is the same machlokes hanoim with the Tanakama of the previous braisa, held like Rabbi Shmuel. And therefore, since that in Har Sinai, it wasn't all the mitzvahs being said, it was just the general, and Oil Moed also was not the general, it was just the specifics, so Har Sinai and Oil Moed cannot be counted as two separate ones, rather they have to be counted as one, because they actually complement each other, one's the Klal, one's the Prat, and therefore the Tanakhama had to say that the third time in history of making the 16 times 3 was actually Har Grizim Har Evel. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, in the previous Brisa, held like Rabbi Kiva of this last Brisa, where each one, Har Sinai and the Oil Moed, each one individually had the Klal Prat of the whole Torah, so therefore they were counted as two separate ones, and that's why he was able to count that as Har Sinai, and you have the Oil Moed, and then you have Arvis Moyiv, which is exactly as Rabbi Kiva had said it. Now, returning to what we said before, so what the Braisa said was, Ve'en l'chol kol dvar mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksuv b'Torah, that comes out that there's not one mitzvah written in the Torah, that doesn't have on it to have 48 covenants in that each individual mitzvah. Now, however, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who is Ish Kfar Akoy, a man from the village of Akoy, he said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, no, that actually, you don't have any one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. You're right, that each mitzvah has 48 covenants, but it's more than that. Shall sheish meyus elef ushleishes alofim of 603,000 v'chamish meis v'chamishim and 550. In other words, that is the amount of Jews that there were of the adult men at that point in the midbar, where it's that every single mitzvah that doesn't have only 48 covenants, it has that multiplied by 600,550 because every single person became an orav, a guarantor, as there is in halachas of another Jew's mitzvahs, of his 48 covenants. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Amar Rabbi says, which seemingly seems redundant, he says, L'divri Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar akoy, sha'amar mishum Rabbi Shimon, he says, according to his opinion, ein l'chol kol mitzvah mitzvah shebat Torah, there's no mitzvah in the Torah, shalai nichus olah arba mishmoyne b'risa, shal sheish meis, elef ashleish, alof mechamish meis mechamishin, that doesn't have in it 48 covenants of 603,550. So Nimtza comes out, says Rebbe, that according to that interpretation, l'chol echad v'echad mi'yisrael, that every single Jewish person had sheish meis elef v'shleish salof mechamish meis v'chamishim, had 603,550 brises on every single mitzvah in the Torah. So the Gemara wonders, my benaya, what exactly is the difference between Rebbe and what Reb Shimon ben Yehuda himself had said, what is he adding on and what are they arguing about? So that Amr Amasharsha, he says what they're arguing about is Arva. They both agree that every single Jewish person is a guarantor for the next Jews. So on every single Jewish person's obligations, every single Jew has every Jewish person's obligation, which is multiplied by 600,550 times that 48 brises. But the Arva, the Arva Ikamenai, the difference between them is, was everyone a guarantor for the guarantorship of every single Jewish person? In other words, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda held that, no, every single person only became a guarantor that his friend himself, meaning every single Jew, 600,550 of them, should keep the mitzvahs. So it comes out that every single Jewish person was a guarantor on every single Jewish person's 48 covenants that he has, because every single mitzvah, as we explained previously, has 48 priests. But it's not that every single person became an Arav on the Arvis of his friend, it's just on the obligations that his friend himself has. Now that is where Rebbe comes to argue, and he says that no, according to the opinion of Rebbe Shimon, that he's coming to count all the 48 brises of every single Jew because of the arvis that he has to that other person. So then actually he says, you got to square it. You have to count the 48 covenants of 600,000 of every single one, and now each one of these has 600,000 himself because every single Jew is an arv to every other Jew, and that's also part of their obligations. So it comes out that every single person at that time accepted for all future generations as an arvis of the 600,000 because of his friend's obligations. Now every single one of that 600,000 has on himself 600,000 obligations, again because of the arvis that he has on his friends. And now that other person, whoever he is accepting the arvis of the aravim. And therefore comes out, that's what Rabbi was saying, that you have to square that amount, and that's the amount of priests that there are on every single mitzvah in the Torah. Nadar Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmeni, who was Mitrugamoni de Reb Shimon Malakish, he was the interpreter of Reb Shimon Malakish, he made the following drasha. It says, Kol ha-parsha kula, the entire parsha over there by Har Grizim and Har Evil, loy nemra ele benoyev v'noyafes. There were a certain amount of curses that were mentioned over there, and blessings for certain mitzvahs. He gives the interpretation that actually, although it sounds like they're talking about different ideas that were mentioned from the Torah, they're actually all references to an adulterer and adulterous woman. As he explains, which he gives an example, it says there, Aur ha'ish, cursed is the man, asher yaseh pesel maseicha b'kama, who makes a graven and a molten image, an idol. Now the question is, ba'ar sagile, do you think that's enough? Someone that's kaifa ba'ikah denies God, because Chas Shalom, he creates an idol as if this is someone to worship, something to worship, and not Hashem. So it's enough just to be cursed? How can you say that he gets cursed as if that's enough? This person deserves much worse. Ella, rather, this is what Rabbi Yehuda ben Achmeni was saying. It's actually, it's not talking about someone that himself makes a graven or molten image. Rather, it's a reference who's being cursed. Zehabo ala erva, as we said, that each one of these psukim is actually a reference to an adulterous relationship. It's talking about a man that has relations with a married woman, v'hoylid ben, and he gives birth to a son, who is a mamzer, an illegitimate child. Now, because of his great embarrassment about being a mamzer, who he's forbidden to marry into the Jewish people, now he can't find a wife to marry. So v'holach lebein of the kechavis, and now he goes amongst the non-Jews, amongst the idol worshippers. And therefore now he's hanging around them. He goes and he worships idols. And that is what the Pasuk is saying. Cursed is the father and the mother of this idol worshiper, because it's they who cause him to worship idols. Now, that's just one example. Rashi goes through actually all of them to show and illustrate how, although they seemingly are talking about different things, they're actually all references to a noyif and a noyofes. Now, those certain ones are more simply, obviously, related to arayas. For example, when it says sheichavim chesantoi, if someone sleeps with his in-law, or eshes aviv, his father's wife, or with his sister. Now, what Rashi adds on, they're all talking about, besides being an ervatim, they're also eshes ish, that woman is a married woman. So therefore, when it's being cursed, he's actually getting two curses. But again, they all have a component of a married woman having a relationship. Now, even when it says sheichivim kol behema, cursed is someone that sleeps with an animal. So on that, the interpretation, as Rashi explains, is a married woman who acts like an animal because she's having an adulterous relationship with another man. When it talks about Mekal of V'imai, cursed is someone who curses his father and his mother. Actually, what it references is someone that cohabits with a married woman degrades his father and mother, because people are going to say, look what a child you have who has an adulterous relationship. When it says Mashki Iver, cursed is someone that takes a blind person and causes him to stumble, it's actually a reference to someone that seduces a married woman who she's blind in this, and she doesn't realize the great punishment she's going to have. So that's Mashki Iver. When it says that is cursed is someone that's Masik Vul Re'eyu, who pushes back the boundary of his friend, meaning really the boundary line between their fields, let's say, is here, and he pushes it back, that's a reference to someone that cohabits with that his friend's wife. It's also a type of Masik Vul, about crossing the boundaries and pushing that back. When it says cursed is someone that is makere eyu besesa, that hits him, his friend in seclusion, that means to say someone that causes that something in seclusion that to cause that person to die, which is the bitter waters that the woman drinks, which is something that happens because of in a secluded area. When it says that cursed is someone that's loikeach sheikh lahakas nafesh, who takes bribery to kill a person, that's a reference to someone that takes money, bribery money, from people to go ahead and find people who want to have adulterous relationships to seduce a married woman to cause this person death by causing him to be in an adulterous relationship. Now, the last one Rashi mentions of matim mishpat ger yosim, cursed is someone who causes the judgment of a convert or an orphan to be perverted, he says he doesn't know how to interpret. However, the Tesis Shantz brings from the Reb Shimshon Mikutzi that it's actually also a reference to someone that has relations with a married woman and then has an illegitimate child from that union. Now, since this illegitimate child, as we said before, can't find a wife, so he goes to live in a faraway place because he's embarrassed, now comes out that he's like a ger and a yosim. He's like a ger, meaning like a someone that's not a teicha, because he doesn't have a father. He's like wandering on his own, and it's because the father who gave birth to him makes as if he's not his son. And so to his mother is like a widow because of the adulterous relationship, she's forbidden to her husband, and now here she sits alone like a living widow. So therefore, that's the interpretation given by Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani. Although all these curses mentioned, Hagrid and Mar-Evil, sound like totally different halachas, he actually says they're all references to a man having an illegitimate relationship with a married woman. Tarman went in the Braisa, again continuing on this theme of Hagrizim Har Evil. It says a pasuk in Devarim, it says, V'nasate sabracha, that you will place the blessing, al Hagrizim, on Mount Grizim, Mesaklal, and the curses were said, Begim, etc., which was on Har Evil. Now, on that, the Braisa asks, Matamalim, what is this pasuk in Devarim teaching us? And that is, Imla lamed shetei bracha al hagrizim klala al har evil, which sounds like the literal understanding of the pasuk. If it's coming to teach us that the blessings should be on hagrizim and the curses should be on har evil, but harei kvar nemar, there's a different pasuk in the Rambam that already tells us this idea. It says, Elu yam levarach esaham al hagrizim. Now these are the ones that should stand for the blessing on the people, which is on hagrizim. And next 7, the pasuk after that says, Ve'elu yamdu al hal klala b'har evil, and these are the ones that are standing for the curses on har evil. So already know they're from a different pasuk. So what is this pasuk teaching? Elo rather says the Braisa, it's lahakdim bracha l'klal. This pasuk is coming to teach us, because in one pasuk it's saying the order, it's that we should preface the blessings to the curses. That's why it says it, that these, you give the bracha l'hagrizim, and that's l'klal l'har evil, and that's why we need this pasuk to say what comes first. First comes the blessing, then comes the cursing. Now, says the Braisa, yachol yu kol ha-brachas koid mesel l'klal. You would think that all the blessings come before the curses, and that is that first conclude all the blessings until you finish that whole parasha of Baruch Asher Yakum es Dibre Terezais, and then you start with all the klalas. Tamalem, that's what the pasuk teaches in the singular, bracha uklala, the blessing and the curse, which tells us bracha achas kademes leklala. Yes, the brachas come before the klala, but it's what, that one bracha comes in before the converse of it, of the curse. But ve'in kol ha-brachas kademes leklala, but it's not that you have all the blessings and then you do all the curses. Now, that's one reason why they have the pasuk. One more reason why we have that pasuk is ulahakish bracha l'klal, that we want to equate and compare, as that pasuk is having in the same pasuk, the blessings of these mitzvahs with the curses of these mitzvahs. Now, specifically why we're comparing the bracha to the klal is because actually what's written in the Torah are only written the arurs, the curses. The inverse of the brachas are not written over there. So therefore all the halachas that we learn out and as we learned in previous dafim, how it's written there regarding the klalos, that's we want the pasuk to compare the brachas to that, to say all those components apply to when they were giving the brachas in Har Griza. Loimelchot coming to tell you that ma klala b'levim, just like the pasuk says that it was the levim that were enunciating the curses. Af bracha b'levim, so too the blessings were said by the levim. Ma klala b'kol ram, just like the curses were said in a loud voice. Af bracha b'kol ram, so too the blessings were said in a loud voice. Ma klala b'lashon hakodesh, just like the curses were in lashon hakodesh, which is where this discussion comes in. This parak of Ilna Morin, which are what are the things that are said in b'kol lashon, and what are those things that are said in lashon hakodesh, which that's how we get into this whole discussion on Har Griza and Har Evil, where we said that it had to be said in lashon hakodesh. So the pasuk only references the curses. Af bracha b'lashon hakodesh, so too the blessings are in lashon hakodesh. Ma klala b'chol prat, just like the curses were in general, meaning ara shelo yakum, and in the specifics. Av bracha b'chol prat, so too the blessing was in general, which is baruch asher yakum, as the Ratzon says, and b'prat, and each one had its specifics. Uma klala elu be'elu ein ba'omrim amen, and just like regarding the curses, that all of the Jewish people went and answered amen when the curses were said, that meaning to say that the person who does this sin will be cursed. Av bracha elu be'elu ein ba'omrim amen, so too by the blessings has the same comparison to the klalas, to say that each and every one answered amen after that it was said by the Levim, that whoever keeps this mitzvah will get the blessing.